are so blessed our church have music and musicians. Just appreciate it very much. Take your Bible tonight, please, and turn to Psalm 88. Psalm 88. We're glad you're here tonight. Thank you for coming. Good to have visitors with us tonight. Good to have folks back with us tonight. It's always nice, and I know that the weather is frightful outside. Amen. But it's warm in here. I've seen some of you going like this. You're too hot. Oh, I feel so sorry for you. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to read God's Word tonight. Psalm 88, verse 10. Two weeks ago, I was reading my Bible. I do that once in a while. And I was reading my Bible. I try to read in the morning. I try to get up, sneak out of my bed before my little wife wakes up. And because once she wakes up, things are happening, all right? But I sneak out, and I go to turn on the coffee machine, amen, huh? And get me a coffee, and I get me a couple things of these bars that I eat, and then I sit down and open up the Bible, and I begin reading. I try to read 5 Psalms every day. So today is the 23rd, and I'll read 5 Psalms every day during the month, and then I read 1 Proverbs, which would be Proverbs 23 today, and then and then Acts chapter 23, because I'm a pastor, and the church in Acts tells so much about the church, so I want to be up on it, and then, of course, I read others. But the other day, I was reading this, and what I had done was I went down to Cody, and I have a Bluetooth on my phone, and I have Alexander Scorby on my phone, and so I just hit the turn it on my Bluetooth, and it comes right to my car radio, and I started here, and for 6 hours listened to the Word of God, the Psalms, and then when I got Cody came home, I listened to 6 hours, a little over 6 hours coming home on it, but I noticed something just kept coming out about people dying and people that when you die, it's all over. And when you die, there's no more praise from the grave. And when you die, you can't do anything for God. And I thought, boy, you know, that's got something's kind of hit me there. And I started, well, the other day, 2 weeks ago, I was reading this. And all of a sudden, I found a scripture in Psalm 88, verse 10 and 11 and 12. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? And the answer is what? No, God's not going to show wonders to the dead. You're dead. You're done. It's all over. Your job is through. And I thought, boy, that's an interesting thought. And then it says, shall the dead arise and praise thee? No. We're not going to die. The body's not going to. We're going to be praising him in heaven, amen. But this old body, I dealt with a lady the other day that pulled this, pulled the gentleman out of the, he'd been in the water since November. And search and rescue, and I talked to her a while. Bless her heart, she's really having a hard time with that. And I said, you've got to understand that person is no more. That's some guys just call it evidence. It's just evidence, or some people call it the shell. And I wanted to say, but I didn't. I heard an old preacher preaching, and he was at a funeral. He said, praise the Lord, so-and-so's gone. He said, this is just the shell, the nut is gone, amen. So, I didn't do that. But anyway, but the idea is, the whole idea is that when we look in the Word of God, we see that when a person passes, they're no longer. Now, I know that Ari Torrey, I believe it's Torrey, has said that people are carrying his son out. His son died a tragic death. I believe it was Torrey, and they carried him out. And while he said to the pallbearers, "Be ever so careful, because you're handling the temple of the Holy Ghost." And that's what our body is. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so, I worked at a funeral home when I was just a punk kid in high school and college, and I worked at a wonderful funeral home. And these guys were treated the body very sacred. They're very careful about that. And most places do. I know the fellows in Great Falls that I've worked with and, work along with as a pastor, they're very careful about that. So, but when a person dies, you're done. It's all over. You've been given so many years to show God and show your fellow man what you think of God. That's what it's all about. And so if it ended today, what would people think of your God? So I want to talk to you about the land of forgetfulness. The land of forgetfulness. Psalm 88, verse 10, "Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee?" Selah. He said, I want you to think of that. "Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness?" Father in heaven, I pray you to speak to our hearts tonight. May this be a time that we look in the Word of God, and may we, for a moment, just stop and to think about life and think about death. Lord, we all know about it. We all know there's coming a day in our life that we're going to die, but it's just not today. It's just not tomorrow, we think, but we don't know. So, Lord, help us be prepared in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Mankind has no proof to live tomorrow. Not one of you in this auditorium have a promise from God that you're going to live tomorrow. We don't know that. We many times people live very precariously. There are some people who are just scared to death of death. When I was going through this day with my wife, I told the doctor, I said, "What's wrong with heaven?" When he told me things weren't going to go well. And I said, "What is wrong with heaven?" We Christians should not live like atheists. Now listen to me. Listen to me now. Are you listening to me? If you ain't looking at me, you're not listening to me. Now listen. We are not to live like atheists. We are to live as Jesus said to his disciples. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." These are the hopes that we have. John wrote in the last of the Revelation, he said, "Even so, Lord God, come quickly." Amen. I'm ready. The troubles and trials are over at death. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, "For the living know that they shall die." Listen to me. The wisest man in the world, Solomon, said, "For the living know that they shall die." Everybody dies. I talked to somebody the other day. I said, "Do you realize you're going to die someday?" And he said, "Well, yeah, everybody knows that." He was just talking what the Bible said. So Ecclesiastes 9:5, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." I want to preface my sermon tonight. You see, the word preface means, we see a lot when we start reading a book. I just bought some books the other day at the Gospel Mission and over at Shoto, and I was going through these books, and first thing I do is go to the preface. I want to see what's in that book. Some authors tell you why they wrote the book. They want you to catch something, be alert about something that he or she is trying to speak about. It's what we call the introduction of the book. It's stating the subject, the scope, or the aim. So today I want to preface my sermon before I go any further. I want you to think with me about the subject about being forgotten. It is a thing that happens to all. There are those that are at one time had vibrant lives on this earth, but now deceased. Those that led daring and fearless and challenging and heroic lives, those that one time stood for freedom and now they're gone. And many of those people are what? Forgotten. So I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. All of us that have buried loved ones, and some very recently, some have just a few years, others perhaps just in the last 10 years. And I'm not talking about the immediate death. I'm not talking about the people that just died right now. I'm talking about the deceased family members. You think of them time and time again. You think of them. You sometimes even think you hear them. And sometimes you even think in a split second you're sure that you saw them. I'm not getting spooky here. I'm just telling that's the way it is. You live with a husband long, and you love each other dearly, and he leaves you. First of all, you're mad because he left you. Sometimes you think you hear his voice. Sometimes you think you see him. It's a crazy thing. And of course, you and I know as Christians, we don't see them and we don't hear them because the Bible said we're absent body, present with the Lord within a blink of an eye. So they're not here. And I know that some people, you know, the Ghostbusters and all the other kind of stuff, they're trying to find out, you know, if Aunt Susie's still in the mansion, whatever, you know. Aunt Susie is either in heaven or she's in hell. She's not on this earth. Read your scriptures, Luke 16. They neither come, they neither leave, he says. You cannot get out of hell and go to heaven. You can't get out of heaven and go to hell. It says it doesn't happen that way. So get that out of your mind. Because our mind, I'm going to say it right. Our mind can conjure up things. We have a powerful, powerful mind. And it can conjure up some things that, boy, oh boy, just kind of, you know, you're home sitting alone, and all of a sudden you hear a noise. Last night I was finished up some things, and I heard some noise. I don't know where it came from. And I'm kind of jumpy anyway. You know, I don't like the dark. I'm a sissy. I shoot first and then go look, amen? So don't come over to the house. But anyway, pretty jumpy last night. I heard something just made noise. I don't know if it's the wind or whatever, but boy, then my mind started conjuring up things. You know, and kind of one of them deals, you know. He said, "You're crazy." "No, I'm not. I'm the same as you are. You do the same thing. Don't look at me like that, like a cow looking at a new gate." "Yes, you are. Because I hear you talking about it." So, but what I want to get to today is that there will come a time when a person's been in the grave 40, 50, 60 years or more, that influence will be forgotten and not remembered. And therefore, it is so important that we do what God wants us to do for the cause of Jesus Christ right now. Moses, when he was gone, and Joshua, when he was gone, and the scripture says, and when the elders were gone, what happened? They forgot God. They forgot God. Those men were there keeping their, may I say, their feet to the fire. Those men were there keeping them to serve God. But once they left, it only took a generation, and all of a sudden they forgot about God and all the wonderful things that God did. By the way, that happens in many homes. I'll see families that daddy was really a godly man, and he literally sometimes drugged those kids to church. When daddy died, gone. I've seen young men who come up to this military base. Their daddy's a preacher and a godly man serving God, and you know, and brought those kids up just right. They hit this base, and all of a sudden they go crazy. I don't know what button it pushed, but it pushed. They're out drinking and cursing and you name it. I was telling the family the other day, there's a guy came to our church. His daddy and mama were missionaries in Germany. Good people, godly people. Raised that boy right. That boy joined the Air Force, whether it be Air Force, Marines, whatever. But he joined the armed forces, came to this base, came to our church for a little bit, and all of a sudden he's just gone. I mean, just oblivious. I tried to call his phone, and his phone was turned off. And I thought, well, maybe he PCS someplace else. One day, 2 o'clock in the morning, our friends, Brother Blackburn and his wife, they were coming through town, and I said, "Hey, 2 o'clock in the morning." I said, "Hey, let's go over to Four B's and have coffee while you're here. Just have a little time with us." So they did. And when there, here he came in with a bar crowd, and he dunked. It broke my heart. I said, man, I said, I lost you. He said, I'm doing okay, preacher. I said, no, you're not. Well, anyway, 2 months later, I got a call from the chapel on base and said, do you know so-and-so? I said, yes. He said, he's a member of your church. I said, yes. He said, he was tragically killed on his motorcycle yesterday. Coming around a corner, coming down Kings Hill, came around a corner, hit a guardrail, cut his head off. They said, we want you to be part of this memorial service on base. So I came in and I spoke, told them about Jesus. And after the service, a lady came up to me. I noticed she was sitting in front. She came up and she grabbed my hand and hugged me. And she said, preacher, I got to talk to you. I said, yes, ma'am. She says, we were seeing each other. And I divorced my husband. And the military got in on this thing and some morality deal and said that we couldn't be married or something. And she pointed at the boy's casket and she said, 3 days ago, he said, I don't care if the military or even God tells me I can't have you, I'm going to have you. It's real, folks. Don't you ever challenge God. It's real. But here's a family who tried their best to raise good boys, tried their best to raise good girls, and all of a sudden their influence is gone, and now what they're doing. I can tell you incident after incident where I meet some grandkid of some preacher, and they said that mom and daddy quit going to church and wouldn't have nothing to do with it. And I get to lead them to the Lord. I really believe it's because they've been grandma and grandpa were praying for them a long time. But something happens and man forgets. And man is not courage. Man changes and no one was there to remind them about the law. No one reminded them about the grace of God. No one reminded them about the terrible price that sin brings to our lives. There's a terrible price for sin. You will pay for it. What happens? Well, many people have gone to the land of forgetfulness. And there's nobody to carry on the torch. Holy Scripture says that they have been forgotten. They are not missed. We don't muse about them anymore. We hardly pause to think of them. Why? Because it is not necessary to. Someone who has been dead for 100 years is forgotten. They have been mentioned or remembered on Memorial Day. We'll go down the graveside and you ponder for a moment and think about what it was. Down at the Old Hope Cemetery in Hope, Michigan, there's a great tombstone for my great-granddad, John Shear. It looks like a great big old honey tree. 1 year, we happened to be over to Michigan, and my boys were strong young teenagers, and I said to my dad, I said, let's go down to Old Hope Cemetery and clean up the grave for that great-granddad had. It's kind of grown up in vines and stuff. And so he'd come out here and settled in Michigan and out of the Ohio Valley, out of Switzerland. And he was a great man. People knew him. In fact, they named a road after him. It's called Shear Road. And same as my granddad, who was a politician, and everybody knew him. And now my dad and mom, I think of them often, but very few times I ever think of my grandparents and great-grandparents. Only a few in history are remembered by their heroism and their feats of historical contribution. The Scripture says this, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But what I'm trying to say is that there are few people that are remembered after a few years. And so what I'm saying is it is our important responsibility to do what we can for God while we're here, because it won't be long and we'll just be forgotten. I can't call up my dad and say, "Dad, I'm having some trouble tonight." I used to. Well, I was starting a church in Delavan, Minnesota. Oh, my, oh, my. I worked 3 jobs plus pastor that church. I was dying financially. Everything I was making, I was putting in that church just to get it going, you know. My dad would come and say, "How you doing, boy?" I said, "Man, Dad, I'm having a tough time." He said, What do you need?" I said, "Well, I really don't." He said, "Hey, I'm your dad now. What do you need?" And I said, "Well, I could use a few extra bucks." He said, "I'll have it in the mail. I'll have it in the mail." Boy, it's nice to have a daddy like that, amen? My dad worked hard as a farmer. Can't do that tonight. I sure like to call. Would you like to call your dad? Or call your husband? Or call your wife and say, "Hey, just want to talk to you today. I just want to hear your voice." But they're forgotten. I read in Acts the other day that I thought of Eutychus, who fell out of the 3rd story and died when he hit the ground while Paul was preaching. Long time preaching, the Bible said. He preached until early morning. I love that kind of thing, preaching, amen. Nobody says amen to that. He came back to life. I wrote in my note by my Bible, I said, "Wow, what a fall just to get your name in the Bible." Amen. When a mortal dies, it's over. I don't care if he had appointments to do. I don't care if his calendar is full. I think of my cousin who was this summer, I had a funeral for him. He was starting a new practice. He's going through some pretty difficult things in his life. And they had all things planned out. "This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do." And got on his motorcycle. And a girl that was 16 years old just got her driver's license. And she was texting and drove over and hit his friend's motorcycle. Cut the leg of a little girl. But hit my cousin head on. Dan was an oral surgeon, graduated with honors at Stanford University, brilliant man, has all kinds of patents for dentistry. But you know what? Dan's not here anymore. He's gone. And all of his appointments and all of his financial stuff and all. This is what amazes me when I read Psalm 39:6. "He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them." Some of you people working so hard to make a little money, you don't know if you're going to spend it or not. You have no idea. You have no promise of tomorrow. Y'all understand that? You don't have a promise tomorrow. "Remember how short my time is," the psalmist says in 89:47. "Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain?" Psalm 39:5-6. "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth." This is a handbreadth. So that's all it's made. My age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Think of that, Sheila. "Surely every man walketh in vain, vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up his riches and know not who gathered them." Psalm 119:84. "How many are the days of thy servants? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Job 7:7. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good. Job 9:35. Now my days are swifter than a post. You know what a post is. I'm sure we get the post office. Guy getting on a horse and delivering mail. Amen. Swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as a swift ship, as an eagle that hastened to his prey. Job 10:9. Remember, I beseech thee that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into the dust again? Psalm 144, verse 4. Man is like vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Job 14:1. Man is born of a woman, is of a few days, and listen to this, and full of trouble. You wonder why you're having some trouble? Full of trouble. Yeah, all of us have trouble. There's not a person in this auditorium that hadn't had some kind of trouble. And if you haven't, you're going to have some. And you're going to probably get a good dose of it, amen. All of us have trouble. All of us are in sorrows. Like the old preacher said, I live on the corner of trouble and sorrow, amen. James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanishes away. Go outside tonight. I think it's like 7 degrees outside and just go, that's vapor. See how long it lasts. God said that's the way our life is. So what am I trying to tell you? What do you think the preacher is trying to tell you tonight? Life is short. Two things a man gets in his life. He gets the love of his wife and the food and the drink that he eats and drinks. That's what Ecclesiastes says, the preacher says. It's only two things. So, he says, eat and enjoy your wife. Some people are so caught up in doing so many things. You don't spend time with your children. You don't spend You sacrifice your children on your job. You can always get another job, but you can't get another wife. You always get another job. You say, well, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, yes, you can. Don't do anything you're going to lose your wife over. Psalm 89:48, when a man is, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? No. There is one. Her name was Queen Elizabeth. They say, and I've read this so many places, they said that her last words were on her deathbed, all my possessions for a moment of time. All my possessions for a moment of time. And I've heard so many guys say that. I went in and Googled it. You know, Google stuff. You want to make sure you're saying with you. I went in and they said, that she probably lost her voice because she was dying of blood poisoning and probably never did say it. Whatever. It sure sounds good, amen. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, Psalm 49:7, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. That's what we're at. That's what we're at. When we're absent of the body, we're present with the Lord. The Bible says all of us are sinners, and because we sin, we owe a terrible price. The price is death and hell forever. Amen? All of sin comes short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one. But Jesus Christ came and died on the cross so that we could have life everlasting. Though the world forgets us, God will never forget us. I was over in Nepal with Brother James 2 years ago, and I was speaking to a person is a Buddhist. And I was asking some questions. And I said this, I said, what about Buddha? When he died, and he was surrounded by his disciples or people. Is it true that they asked him a question, Buddha, what about what we'd call everlasting life? And he said, you got to find your own nirvana. It's up to you. And Buddha was supposed to be their what? Their savior. Then I proceeded to ask the Buddhist, I said, where is he buried? And I think he's at six places. They got a shin bone one place. I'm not making fun of it. They're really serious about it. They got a shin bone someplace. They got a thumb someplace or a finger someplace or whatever, you know. And I said to this Buddhist, I said, therefore, how can your Savior who is dead and has a grave save you and take you to your nirvana? And he said, I guess he can't. And I said, that's why I want to tell you about my Savior who lives forever. He died and rose on the third day. And he is the resurrection and the power of resurrection. And he rose from the grave. And he promised those who trust in him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from sin and destruction and hell, and give us everlasting life. We have a Savior who is living today, who makes intercession in heaven for us. And one of these days, he's going to tell old Gabriel, lick your lips, buddy, and blow that trumpet, amen. And we're going to be absent from this body, and we're going to be present with the Lord. You look through all the scriptures, Ecclesiastes 3:19, for that which befalleth the son of man befalleth the beast. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they all have one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence over the beast. For all is vanity. All go unto one place. All are the dust, and all are turned to dust again. Wow! I'm going like, yeah, you know, when I was growing up, I had a dog. Dog died. I'm going to die too. Now, there's a difference there. I know I'm going to hurt some of your feelings, but there's a difference there. God breathed into man. He became a living soul. That's why I can eat cow and know that I'm not eating cow and see that cow in heaven again. Amen. Oh, sorry, man. You made a hamburger out of me. I'm going to make a little hamburger out of you out of heaven here. Amen. But, by the way, may I encourage you? God said he's going to make us a new heaven and a new earth. Are you kidding me that he's not going to make fish and beautiful birds and beautiful animals for us? Give me a break. People all go, well, heaven, all we're going to do is golden streets. Well, let me tell you something. That ain't the half of it. That's not the half of it. You'll have your kitties and you'll have your dogs and you'll have your whatever you like. I just hope that God does not make any more snakes. Ecclesiastes 12:7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit, listen to this, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Thank God for that. That's our promise. That's our promise. So, we have a promise, though there is a forgetfulness. I think that we as Christians ought to be very, very conscious of the fact, and ought to be very careful of the fact that we only have a few years to live on this earth. And God says our life is like the flight of an eagle when he goes down. A couple of years ago, my sons and I were out pheasant hunting, and all of a sudden, here comes this eagle screaming through the sky. Boom! He hit this pheasant. I mean, it looked like he hit a pillow. It just feathers all over the place, you know. Stinking thing, get out of here. We're trying to hunt here, you know. Man, I never seen it. I mean, I wish I had a video of it. It was so fast. I mean, His tail had to be on fire. Just, whoa, man, he hit that thing. And it was an incredible thing. I never seen it. He rolled, man. He hit that thing. I guess he got his talons caught in the pheasant. He just rolled, man. And the old pheasant didn't even move, man. It was dead. And God says, that is like your life. Some of you have been around a little longer than others. And you'll tell me that it just seemed like yesterday you were a child. It doesn't take very long to get 60 and 70 and 80. It's gone. You parents of these kids that think they'll never grow up, and they're always in diapers, amen. Pretty soon they'll be putting them on you, amen. Life is so fast. It's incredible. So may I encourage you, when you find something to do, do it with all your might, with all your soul, with all your mind. Do it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you go out bus calling, you're the only hope some of these kids will ever have. God tells us that a true Christian looks after the fatherless. There's some kids out there that are fatherless. You're the only hope they got to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and get to go to heaven. Do it with all your might. When you see our ladies of our church that are widows, do it with all your might and help them. When you see the little ones that are in need, help them. The adults that need help. There's some people just need an arm around them and say, hey, it's going to be okay. Sometimes the things that you went through that you just don't can't understand why you went through those things, and you meet somebody else that having the same problem, guess what? That's what you went through all that training for, God took you through, amen. Don't gripe and complain about the training. I saw something the other day, very interesting thing. A man came to another man and he said, I know what you're going through. He'd already been through it. And to me, it was comforting to see a father tell another father, hey, it's going to be okay. Yeah. Live for God. Now, if you're here tonight, you do not know for sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. That's a terrible thing to listen to a sermon like this. It's pretty spooky. It's kind of like, it's kind of deep. It's kind of dark. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you believe that He'll take you to heaven. It's not dark. It's a hope. We sorrow not as others who have no hope, the Scripture tells us. We have a hope. We got a hope. A hope of going to heaven someday. But if you don't have that hope, this life is pretty scary. And as the Scripture I first read there, it said that everybody knows he's going to die. All of us know we're going to die. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, I pray you'd deal with us. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, if there be anyone here tonight that's not sure they're saved, anyone here tonight that not know that they're on their way to heaven, I pray tonight would be the night in their life that they receive you as their Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and say, preacher, if I were to die tonight, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I really don't know too much about that. I'd sure like to be sure that I'm not caught out in the cold. I'm not caught without Christ. I want Jesus to be my Savior. You say, how do you do that, preacher? Well, the Bible says, first of all, do you realize you're a sinner? You say, yeah, what do you mean? That's pretty easy to know. I know I'm a sinner. And secondly, because I've sinned, I owe a terrible price. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And then realize there's a God that will save you if you just ask Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. as God promised you tonight. You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I just don't have everlasting life. I just don't know for sure if I die tonight I'd go to heaven. Would you please pray for me?" If you want me to pray for you, just put your hand up. Just put it up and down and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I will not point you out. I will not come to you. But I will give you an opportunity that you'll have a man of God pray for you, that you receive Christ as Savior." Anyone else, put your hand up to say, "That's me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven." Just put it up and down. Dear God, I pray tonight that you'd speak to our hearts, and we have this time of invitation, Lord God, that we would realize that we have a great responsibility that has been given to us by a holy God who loves us and cares for us. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd speak to our heart. Lord, is there anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they have a home in heaven, that tonight would be that night, and they'd accept you as their Savior? In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to your feet. Everyone standing, you're here tonight, and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that." I'm going to be up front here. You're here tonight, and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I am looking at that. I know that I'm going to go to the land of forgetfulness. I know I'm going to go to a place that after I've gone for a while, people are just not going to remember me." That's kind of sad, isn't it? I'm forgotten. No, I'm not talking about today. I'm not talking about today or next week or a few years. We remember those. But I'm talking about later down the road, just all over. Let me ask you, is your life, as a Christian, is your life that way that people couldn't forget you? And just meaningless? Didn't do anything? Never told anybody about Jesus Christ? Never helped the little child? Never helped the widow lady? Your life just goes on. You're just busy, 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 busy. Taking care of yourself, taking care of your own things, and never worry about anybody else. Boy, that's a hideous way to die. We ought to be busy serving God. We ought to be busy doing the things that would Jesus Christ would be glorified in the things that we do and say. You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come? Let me show you from God's Word how you can know for sure that you go to heaven." Maybe you're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I want to be baptized. I want to follow the Lord and believe in baptism. Why don't you come?" You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve. You come."